Amen. I'd like to apologize first off for my phone going off. Brother Brian said he loves his phone. And I was thinking about that statement. It's hard to love something that can't love you back. But there are times where I hate my phone. but sorry about that. As we come together on this morning to close out our series on accountability, I hope and pray that we have been paying attention to the lessons, going all the way back to the question that was asked in reference to a child not being accountable to God or a person not being accountable to God, them praying to God. We want to encourage the parents to continue to teach your children to pray.
Amen.
Teach them to be obedient unto those that are over them, especially you, that we may continue to teach them how to be respectful. As we talk about accountability, there's going to be a time in those children's lives where they are going to want to be added to the body of kingdom by submitting to God's word and being baptized. As Sister Mary was on a week or so ago, that she was added to the body of Christ. So accountability, again, comes in the lives of people at different times, different ages. But when we understand what God's word say, let us be obedient unto it. So we continue this morning with accountability. We started out looking at sexual immorality or being sexual immoral. Go ahead and glance at that definition once again. Sexual contact and touching of any kind before marriage is sexual immorality. This word also includes sexual contact with children, incest, bestiality. To make the point simple, if you are not married, then any such contact is being condemned. Being condemned. Idolatry. Idolatry as anything that we place or higher importance or greater desire and value than God. Usually our idols or our careers, our wealth, our possessions, our family, our comforts, and our conveniences. Those things are idolatry when we place them ahead of God. Adultery. Adultery in the scriptures refers to a married person having sexual relations with another person who is not his or her spouse. Just because living together, sleeping with each other, having affairs, cheating on your spouses, looking at pornographic material, or having inappropriate relationships with others is all common and acceptable in our society, does not change the gravity of the sin and that it is an abomination before the Lord. Thieves. This one should be easy for us all to understand, and I believe we all understand it. If you take something that is not yours, you are a thief. Stealing is also a sin. Let me say something about this one real quick. Somebody came over to my house, and they asked me something about something I let them use, and I messed up and made the statement, yeah, I did give you such and such, and I was corrected on that. Well, if you gave it to him, you should not expect it back. Where's he at? He's in here somewhere. I'll find him in a minute. Where's that brother at? Y'all want me to call his name?
Yes, sir.
Brother. There he is right there. I found him. He's trying to hide, trying to mingle in with everybody else. Yeah, I want my stuff back. Okay? That stuff I let you borrow, I want it back, okay? All right, so I did not give it to you. A thief, one who should be easier for us to understand, if you take something that is not yours, you are a thief. Stealing is also a sin, all right? A greedy person, a person who is not satisfied with their income or possessions, the scriptures call for us to be content with what we have and to be content in our circumstances of life. So let's not be greedy. All right, let's be content with whatever we have. Homosexuality, again, as we talked about this on last week, sexual relations between two people of the same sex. Just that simple. It is a sin. It is a sin. Drunkards, becoming drunk is also a sin. Those who become drunk will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then leads us to the last two. The last two in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. We'll talk about these two, and then on this evening, we'll conclude with a sermon dealing with those that will not inherit the kingdom of heaven in order to tie this all together so that we may know how we're supposed to live in the eyes of God. Is there anybody in here? Is there anybody in here? Anybody that's perfect? Anybody? If you're perfect, you have my permission to get up and leave. If you're perfect, yeah, you better sit there. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm looking out the corner of my eye at you. There's not one person in here that's perfect. We have all made mistakes. We've all sinned, the Bible tells us, and fallen short of the glory of God. I like how Paul wrote this, how the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this so that we may understand that we have lived in a way that God was displeased with, but we did something, or we should do something, that He will be pleased with us. Displeased and pleased. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Not one of those individuals will inherit the kingdom of God. When will we as an individual be able to inherit the kingdom of God? Brother Colbert stood up here and he prayed a prayer that we should have been paying attention to. We are today in the kingdom, those of us that have been baptized in the kingdom of, which is considered to be the church. We're in that kingdom today. The kingdom that we're looking at and talking about here is in the end. You will not be able to enter into that great kingdom in the end if you do these things. If you participate in these sins, you will not be able to, on the day of judgment, to be told to enter in, my good and faithful servant. You're going to hear a command, and we know that we are supposed to obey commands. The command that you're going to hear on that day, if you participate in these sins and you die in them, is depart from me. Depart. Get away from me. I don't know you. You ever heard anyone or anyone ever told you that? Get away from me. I don't know you. And it's because of our actions. It's because of who we are sometimes. So we need to be obedient unto God, and we need to do those things that are right. So here's what he says as he continued there. He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You're a child of God now. Live for Him. This very one, as we talk about a reviler here, the very one who came to give His life for the sins of the world. Brother Brian pointed that out in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I know I have some scriptures there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, Jude 8 through 9, 1 Peter 2, 23, 1 Peter 3, 9. But I want to direct your minds to another scripture. A scripture that shows how bad this sin really is. You know, again, there's no sin greater than any other. But as we look at the definition here, this is a verbally abusive person. Slandering and railing on someone is another picture of what this sin is talking about. Well, let me give you a picture from the scriptures. In the book of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to start with verse 32. Matthew 27, starting with verse 32. Now, I've read something as I was reading this out of two accounts of the crucifixion of Jesus that I really hadn't paid attention to before. And you, I'm going to point that out to you when I get to it, but I just wanted to go ahead and throw it out there just in case I forget, then you may catch it. In verse 32, it says, as they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they delivered his divided his garments among them by casting lots. They sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Right there, you find where they began to do something that they shouldn't have never done. They're mocking him. They're making fun of him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers. I'm going to say it again. Two robbers. One more time. Two robbers. You should get something from that as we continue to read. He says here, those two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, waving their hands and saying, "You would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Now, it wasn't just the people. The common people that was doing this. Look what the Bible says. So also the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him, said, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now. If he desires him, for he said, "I am the Son of God." Do you see how good our Savior is? He stayed right there. They reviled against him, but he did not revile back. They talked bad about him. Jesus knew who he was. He knew that he was the Son of God, and he knew what the Father wanted him to do. He prayed that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it be thy will, allow this cup to be removed from me, but not my will be done, but your will be done." Jesus went to the cross on the behalf of the people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, this last part here, I want you to look at it. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Do you see that? How many robbers were there? There were two robbers. How many reviled against him in the same way? There were two of them. Both of them were saying the same thing as everyone else was saying. But you know, as we talk about getting your life right with God, there were one of them that got his right with Jesus that day. As this railing continued, as this reviling continued, Jesus was listening to what was going on, and one figured out before it was everlasting too late that this man is somebody. And he looked over at the other. I don't know how he did it, but he looked over at the other. And he rebuked him for the words in which he was saying. And Jesus said, "This day you will be with me in paradise. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. This day you will be with me in paradise. For you have had a change of heart." See, we too can have a change of heart when we revile against someone. When we have said things that we should not say. When we have verbally abused somebody. We too can have a change of heart. But as we have that change of heart, let us make sure that we just don't say we're not going to do it anymore. Let's go to that person and let's apologize to them for what we've done. See, that's where it starts. See, we always want to run to God. God is, I don't want to hear you right now. Your problem is with them. You go get your problem right with those people over there. And Jesus, as Jesus was looking at these people doing the things and saying the things that they were saying, remember his words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. As they were casting lots for his garments. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. Did God at that time forgive them for their sin? He did not. It took Peter on that day of Pentecost to preach that message and tell them that Jesus whom you crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ over your lives. Men and brethren, what shall we do? I remember the words in which I spoke that day. But what shall I do now that I realize that I was wrong? Peter said in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. That very person in whom you railed against is the same person name in whom you need to be baptized in order to obtain salvation. Well, is this really so bad? Is this a sin that we need to be aware of and a sin that God is really going to hold us accountable for? Yes, this is a sin that he's going to hold us accountable for. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. See, there are times where we talk bad about people to someone else. But the Bible is very clear on how we're supposed to treat those people. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, you're going to see it here in talking about a reviler, and also you're going to see it when we talk about a swindler. He says here, but now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. Don't eat with that person. You tell them that they're in sin and they don't want to change, you depart away from them. They don't want to get up from the table, you get up from the table. We have to know what God desires is for us to behave ourselves as his children. We have to know that when we find a person that is not treating someone right, that we need to bring that to their attention and they need to apologize to that person. They need to ask that person for forgiveness. The apology and the asking for forgiveness came in the form of those individuals believing who Jesus Christ is and obeying to the point of being baptized for the remission of their sins on the day of Pentecost for crucifying Jesus back in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. As we look at the account of the crucifixion, that those people, they did not fully understand that they was crucifying the Son of God. Didn't fully understand that. But it was made plain to them. And the Bible tells us that there in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, about 3,000 on that day got their lives together. The number didn't stop there. Others, as they continued to hear the message, they too were obedient to the gospel. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. On that day, 3,000 about. And then daily, individuals are continuing to be added to the kingdom. Same thing is happening today. People are being added to the kingdom of our God, and we are so glad that people are realizing that they have committed sins and that their sins need to be remitted in the watery grave of baptism. We're so glad. In the book of Jude, verse 8 and 9. In the book of Jude, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8, it says, yet in the like manner, these people also relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, with the disputant over the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. See, we don't go back and do something that we're not supposed to do just because the next man is not doing what he's supposed to. Two wrongs does not make a right. We have to continue to live the way God wants us to live and to be obedient unto His Word. So when we do not do what the authority says, when we defile the flesh, when we rely on something that really has no bearing on how we're supposed to live, we are not being Christians. We're not being God-like. We're not being Christ-like. When are we going to change? When are we going to change? Oh, I'm going to change tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to change next week. Or give me a little time. Give me until next year. All you have is right now. That's all you have. You said that last week. But that's all you had then. All you have right now is right now. This day is right now. Tomorrow is not promised to us. Again, James said, what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. All we have is right now. If you're not a child of God, all you have is right now to make up in your mind that you want to become one and do the things that God's Word says. Understanding that the sinner will not inherit the kingdom of God. The sinner has no part in doing the things that are right, as Peter told Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. You have neither part nor lot in this matter. You're in the gall of bitterness. You think that you can buy the gift of the Holy Spirit? No, you can't do that. You are in sin. So when a man is in sin, God is displeased with him. And may your money perish with you. Therefore, people say, well, just one sin is not going to cause me to perish. That's not what Peter told Simon, is it? May your money perish with you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Let's back up just a little bit to verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. But what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, well, what credit is it, he says, you endure? But if you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. That's the verse that we need to understand. When they talked about him, he that says he's the Son of God that can save others, let him save himself. Jesus did what they did not realize. He saved others by giving himself. That's what Jesus did. Now are we willing today to give our life in order for someone else to live? You hear people saying, you know, I need a kidney. You have two. All you need is one. I heard someone say the other day, this sister and brother and a nephew. The sister is on dialysis and the brother is getting ready to go on dialysis, and the nephew was saying, I can give you, the one that's on dialysis, I can give you one of my kidneys. And the other was saying, what about me? He said, I only have two. What am I going to do? See, we don't put ourselves, out in order to get someone else in. But Jesus gave his life in order for us to live. I'm going to tell you why Jesus did that. He did it, one, for sure, because that's what the Father wanted him to do. But just as they said, he said that he could rebuild the temple in 3 days, save himself. They didn't understand. Jesus was going to be buried, but he was going to rise in 3 days and he was going to live. So, what did he really give up? Yes, we sing a hymn saying he left his mighty home in glory. Why? To bring to us the redemption story. We sing that and we believe that, and we know that as he left his home, he went back to his home. But he's coming again. And he's coming again in order to receive unto himself a perfect church. Individuals that participate in the sins that are listed there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, those individuals are not going to get in. He's coming back for those that have given up a sinful life. He's coming back to the ones that have been raised to walk a newness of life. He's coming back for those that have been faithful. He's coming back for those that endured suffering, endured temptation, endured the afflictions of this life, but yet still held on. That's who he's coming back for. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He's coming back for the ones that have died because of the hand of persecution. He's coming back for them. Think about the ones that Saul stood by and watched being put to death as he consented unto Stephen's death there in Acts chapter 7. Jesus is coming back for Stephen. Jesus is coming back for those others that have died faithful or did die faithful. He's coming back for them. He's coming back for you and I if we would just hold on. Paul says he's going to give me a crown, but not for me only, but for all those that love his appearing. Do you ever look up at the skies, at the clouds? Do you ever wake up or do you ever go outside at night and just look up and say, that's a scene in which our Lord can come back? I want you to look in some of those storm clouds too, because we don't know when he's coming back. Amen. But we must be prepared for that day. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 9. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 9. He said, do not repay evil for evil or reviling or for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to you this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. So when people talk bad about you, pray for them. When they do all manner of evil against you, persecute you, pray for them. Love your enemies, the Bible teaches us. That's what Jesus said. You've heard it said, you know, that you should hate your enemies. He said, I'm telling you to love your enemies. Love them. Jesus loved the world. While we were yet sinners, he gave his life. He loved the world. He still loves the world today. The Father still loves the world. He is waiting for people to get their lives in order to come to him before it's everlasting too late. And then last, we look at swindlers. Have you ever been swindled out of something? You know, there are people that thrive on the next man. They're underhanded. They're doing things behind, you know, closed doors. They're doing things in the darkness. They're doing things, you know, under the alias name of someone else. They're doing things. They're swindlers. This refers to indirect stealing like extortion and embezzling. You are cheating another out of something. A cheater. We hate people that cheat in card games, in board games. When a person is not following the rules, you know, we don't like those people. We dislike them. We don't want to play with them anymore. Anita will turn over a checker game in a minute if she's not winning. She's not cheating, but she'll turn it over. Don't play checkers with her. She's not a good player. I just want y'all to know that right now. Well, she's a good player. She's just not a good loser. We have to know that when someone is doing something that they're not supposed to do, as far as this is concerned, God is displeased. In the book of Malachi chapter 1 and the verse is 14. Malachi chapter 1 and the verse is 14. Is God's word not true? Should we not look at his word and say, I'm going to follow it, I'm going to do the things, Lord, that you are pleased with, because I am your servant? I am your child. You are my father. I'm pleased with these things. I'm pleased with you sending your son, and I am going to be obedient. Malachi chapter 1 and the verses 14, the Bible says this. Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. The one that is a cheat, he says. You said you're going to give this this great thing right here, but yet behind my back you think you are, you're going to give me something that I do not desire, something that has spot or blemish, something that is lame, something that is blind. You're going to offer that unto me? I don't want it. I don't want it. But you are the swindler. And when you offer up something God has not asked for, you are in sin. You are in sin. Luke chapter 18 and the verse is 11. Luke chapter 18 and the verse is 11. We find here as the Pharisee and the tax collector are both praying. One thinks that he is so much better than the next. But I want you to understand, that man that has lifted himself up, that man will fall down. The one who does not look up to God and think that he is all that, he will become all that. Because of the God that we serve and because of our attitude toward him, knowing and realizing that he is God and we are really not worthy. But our God, he looks at us. So we find here in Luke chapter 18 and verse 11, the one, the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed, "Thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector." He had the nerve enough to call someone an extortioner. He himself was stealing. He was stealing praise from this next man. One that deserved to be looked at by God and to be honored by God. He was stealing from him. I'm glad I'm not like other men. Unjust. Was he not unjust? An adulterer. You know, we're not looking at a man and a woman, but we're looking at an individual right here. And I know that this is talking about a man and a woman, but I want you to consider he was committing spiritual adultery. Thinking, "I'm God, I'm worshiping you. You have stolen from God. Your worship is not acceptable." The children of Israel committed spiritual adultery against the Lord. God was displeased with that. So we must understand, a swindler, this refers to an indirect stealing like extortion. This man was indirectly stealing from God. His worship was not acceptable unto him. And then, of course, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And that verse is 11 once again. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and that verse is 11 once again. Brother Brian, read that for us.
"But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat."
Can't do it, can we? If we're to be pleasing to God, we cannot hang out with a swindler, an extortioner. We can't do it. We can't hang out with that individual that's a reviler there. We cannot hang out with him. Why? Because God said so. We can encourage him to get his life in order, and when he does that, everything is okay. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for those individuals that are willing to be obedient unto God. We're looking for individuals that says, "I am a child of God and I cannot do things that God is not pleased with." A drunkard. I can't be a drunk and say, "I'm a Christian and I want you to follow after me." What you're saying, "I'm a drunk and I need you to take me down there to the store and get me something else to drink." God does not want you to come to him in a drunken manner. He wants you to be sober-minded. He wants you to be conscious of the things in which are being said, and he wants you to be obedient unto those things. A homosexual. You know, we hear people say it all the time. "Come as you are." A lot of times when they say that, they're talking to people, "You don't have a suit, don't worry about it, come as you are." No, God is saying, if you're a homosexual, you come to me. But when you come to me, you're going to have to give up that lifestyle. You're going to have to be a new man. You're going to have to be a new woman. Come to me. Come as you are. Greedy. You can't be greedy and say that you are a child of God. God does not like greedy people. You cannot be a thief. You have to quit stealing. He that stole, let him steal no more. Let him go out and get him a job. Let him work with his hands and let him be able to help out the next man. Let him tell the next man, "You don't need, that's not yours. Don't take that." "Well, you did last week." "That was last week. Here I am today. I'm willing to help you. I have a job. You don't need that. As a matter of fact, I can't buy you that. Let's go get something else." So we need to help out the next man. Adultery. cannot be an adulterer and think that you're going to get into the kingdom of God. You cannot be one. You have to give up that lifestyle. That means that the man that's married to someone out there that should not be his wife, when you come to Christ, you know, we talk about coming as you are, you're going to have to get rid of her. You're going to have to get rid of him. You got to kick him to the curb. God hates divorce. No, God hates you being with somebody you should not be with. That's what God hates. So we need to understand, yes, he did tell those people back in the book of, I can't remember right offhand, what is Malachi? Was it Malachi 2? Put away those foreign wives. But he hates divorce, but he also told them in a different book to put away those foreign wives. You know, someone asked that question, what about the children? They still your children, but put away those foreign wives. And idolatry, those gods that we serve, anything that we'll put before him, we need to put those things away. Put those things away. And sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. We need to put those things away. We need to cease to do those things to be pleasing to God. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you understand who Jesus Christ is. You understand what sin is. You go back and look at all those sins right there and you say, man, I'm guilty of all of them. Today is your day to come to Christ. Today is your day to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before the people that are here. Today is your day to be immersed in a watery grave of baptism, to rise, to walk a newness of life, and let people say, wasn't he, past tense, one that used to steal? Wasn't he one that used to cheat? Wasn't he one that did this or did that? Wasn't he the town drunk? You still may be identified as a town drunk, but you are a child of God. Amen. You know how and why I'm able to say that? Because Rahab the harlot, that's how she was identified in Scripture. Rahab was a harlot. But she's in the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She changed. You too can change. You don't have to remain in sin. You can become a child of God today. You can be an example to someone else. If you're here and you're not one, be obedient to the Scriptures today. If you're here and you're straight away from the fold, maybe you went back and started participating in some of those sins again. We're asking you to confess your faults. Pray that God may forgive you of your sin and continue to walk right instead of wrong. Turn back to Him and He'll hear your prayers. If you're here and you're subject to an invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.